require, we have a trimmer now.
It's not only if it's a.
Right.
First state.
It's attached to the property.
Right, right.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I can.
My brother, but I'm gonna be meeting her, and all yesterday evening and last night, turning over possessions. I've talked to two people, my sister-in-law.
Yeah, I remember seeing that between first and Neil.
I'm a little slow, a little slower than going.
Hey, Sean, turn on that. Not that you're gonna have to say anything right away.
Yes.
That's, and that was better than. You can.
Yes, right, right.
It is now. This one seems.
Chris, pull the other way. The little thing. Yeah, it tricks me every time.
Oh, yeah.
It comes on and it goes.
I know, that's how that one back there was.
All right, we'll just share microphones.
Humanization negative.
We're gonna share microphones, this makes more sense.
Yeah, there you go. Stay there.
Well, so when Deb gets here, because she's gonna be late, right?
Yes.
You're on, Chris.
Oh.
Okay, should we call the meeting to order? Can we have a roll call, please?
Gail Kennedy.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here.
Sue Suter.
Here.
Deb Rouch.
So we have a quorum, I guess, at the moment. We'll go on to the approval of the agenda, which.
So moved.
Okay, second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So the approval of the last agenda is done. Citizen input and public participation. Anything to add, please? All right, so then we'll move on. As I'm sitting in for Ms. Rouch, I don't have any comments myself. She may, if she gets here, a little later in the meeting, so we'll put that aside. Executive Director's comments, Lynn?
I think I should defer for the sake of time.
That's fine. We'll defer it this time. Approval of the CCD Board meeting minutes.
So moved.
And all in favor?
Aye.
All approved, or all not in favor? Okay, then we're approved. So we move on to part eight, financial information on page 7 and 8. We have the claims reports here. And we need to take action on approving these. Correct? Okay.
So moved.
We have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? No? And then we can move on to a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, do we need a roll call for this? All in favor? Anyone opposed? All right, this one passes. Moving right along. So we are on new business. Board direction. All right, how do we move along here?
It's kind of like a safety net for you all. If there are things you feel moved to talk about, you need to have an agenda item
thing
to give you the opportunity. And you could move it to later in the agenda, I guess. But.
Do we have anything that our other two board members would like to add at this point? All right. Then successes and other agency information. There is something added in here from IAG. And I guess this is a weekly report that comes out.
I know you don't want to tell.
No. Yeah, this is the weekly newsletter from IAG, and their newsletter that they sent to us included pictures and names, and so we just took the pictures out and only used the first name to maintain privacy of the residents.
So, any comments or thoughts?
There are microphones, kind of. If you all want to do agency,
do you want to
share a microphone?
Do you want a microphone?
I think I can talk loud enough. We
no, we're recording.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Okay. Annette Decker from DSC. It's been a challenging morning.
So sorry. It's early.
And it remains so.
It's lit. So, okay.
It's got to be green.
Oh, green. Okay. All right, there we go. Annette Becker, DSC. We had our first open house at the Crow at 110. And the initial thrust for that was a poetry reading for people from the storytelling group who wrote their own poems and wanted to do those in a public forum. The really cool thing was that the CU Poetry Club came and had a strong presence and really embraced a lot of our poets. We had people read their own poems. We had people play the harmonica. We had people demonstrate the diddly bow. And the poets from CU Poetry Club were just pretty amazing. And then in addition to that, we also had an open house of some of the product that we're selling. So it included homemade soaps, wax melts, homemade Christmas cards, and we opened that up to the public as well. And all totaled, I think the sales from the event were about $750.
Wow.
For everybody that had things for sale. And then Patty and I presented at the Vermont Transition Conference last month. That seems like a longer ago time than that, and that went very well. Thank you very much for your input, and anyone else?
If I do any better here. Okay. Okay. I just wanted to share a quick success. There's a woman that we've been working with in our employment department. We've worked with her on and off for probably 5 years. And she's found a couple jobs that haven't been, as it turned out, quite the right fit. In this summer, the late summer, she was offered a job with Champaign Outdoor doing some office work for them in their accounts payable department. And so it took a couple months to sort of get the position just carved out in a way that it would work for her, making sure she could kind of keep the benefits. And she started the job on November 1st, and things are going really, really well. And she's just, we can tell that, you know, over the course, the most recent round, we've kind of been looking for probably 6 to 8 months for something that was going to be right for her. And you could tell that over that time she was getting a little, losing motivation a little bit. It's hard to look for a job for a long time. for anybody. And just in the last couple weeks, every time I've seen her, she's just like, you know, holding herself up higher and really beaming about that. So that's been, it's been really exciting. It's obviously really early, but so far things are going really, really well. And then we also, I'll let Hannah talk about Hannah, she's Community Choices. So our advocacy initiatives group recently presented a statewide webinar for the Illinois Alliance, and it was a webinar based on the Healthcare Professionals Guide to Working with Patients with Developmental Disabilities that they created about a year ago. And it was, it went really well. A lot of input from other folks around the state asking questions and things during the webinar, so that was great.
Really good question.
Oh, yeah, and so then also we have another self-advocate who will be presenting a webinar in December based on an article she wrote last year for Smart Politely about inclusive holidays and inclusive celebrations and how to include folks in your family with disabilities in during the holidays. So.
It's green. Can you hear me?
I'm scared.
Patty Walters, DSC. I was just going to add that last week, DSC also had the Tree of Hope and recognition event, and it recognizes a business, an individual, and an employer. And the employer this year has been pretty amazing. We have a young woman that's worked with them for about 5 years, and each time that she starts feeling a little stale in her role and says she wants additional responsibility, they have done an amazing job of really expanding her skill set and finding ways for her to really kind of move along in the program and in the company. So the other thing though is that we had a gentleman named Darren that is unbelievable and has been participating. He got his first job not terribly long ago. He got his first apartment also in very recently, and through some of the group participation he had started some creative writing and has written a book. And when he gave his acceptance speech, when he got his award, he presented this second novel that he's working on that was inspired by roots. And he said that it is about a slave, and he said that he really relates to the character that he's writing about because she represents somebody that just wants love and freedom, and that's what he's seeking. And I mean, it was just inspiring, but in addition to the kind of inspiration, we would love to see if there's any way as an independent author that we could help him to become published. And so it's kind of a plug for if you have connections, and I am aware of one person that is on the mental health board that has had some success with that, so I plan to do some outreach, but any connections like that, it would be really cool to help this gentleman kind of realize that dream. And I'm looking forward to his books.
Yeah, he would be really good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Who was the employer?
Best Western, okay. Paradise in Savoy.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And she started out, you want to speak on that? She started out just doing kind of the breakfast cleanup. And
yes, and she wasn't the first employee there. The first person, again, it wasn't a good job match, but Alpa Patel is the owner's name, and she was just very committed to working with us. And so this young woman, as Patty said, started out as a breakfast attendant. Now she's helping behind the desk as well, and she helps with everything from planning special events. They've just recently renovated the whole hotel, and she's kind of helped also with selecting, you know, looking at the furnishings and things like that. So they've really, really been instrumental in her keeping the job. And also, if I can say, if anyone wants to see Darren's acceptance speech, I do have that on my cell phone.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. How are everyone doing this morning? I'm Mel. I'm from Pace. I just want to share a couple of things. We are doing really well with the matching. We have had a call recently that we have been working with a family that has been really want to have something particular on preferences, and they just emailed me and said that they finally found someone that they think that matches all the preference that they wanted. So it's going real long with that one. It was very specific. That's why we went through a lot of referrals. The PSW registry is doing very well. So now I actually had to put in an additional orientation in October because of the interest. And then there's a family member that's looking for specific preferences. As you guys know, we refer PSW to consumers that have specific preferences based upon their preferences. So that is going, so we're doing a more referral for that one. We continue to partner up with, first we did with Envision and stuff. So they had good feedback saying that it was a good partnership. There was a lot of response. And just last week with my orientation, the Illinois Respite Coalition attended my orientation and wanted to see how the orientation works. And her feedback was very positive. She said it's a great foundation for people who are looking to work as a personal support worker. Great questions and stuff like that. She said she's looking forward on being collaborating with PACE and being able to help consumers in the area. And we also met with DSC and hoping to partner up with them with a respite program with their programs. So we're moving right along on partnering up with a lot of the places around here and being able to help consumers in the area.
Thank you all. It's really great to hear all of this feedback and love what's happening on a monthly basis. This is my favorite part of my week since I'm chairing and I can say these kinds of things today. All right. So we are moving on. Our next bit of business is 9C, United Cerebral Palsy Vocational Contract, Unused Funds, Unmet Needs. This is on page 11.
So, oh gosh. I'm just guessing you don't want to talk about it. Okay, so this is I think everyone knows that UCP closed the vocational services office that they were running in Champaign. UCP has actually been acquired by another company.
By Spark.
And they do continue services in other communities, just not here. So that leaves us with two things, unmet need and unspent funds, which the board desired to spend on services. So, you know, like, those are two important things. You've been clear that you want to spend the money on services and on behalf of these people. So I thought that, like, there's always, what we do around this time of year is watch money come back from excess revenue, and without a plan, it goes into fund balance. And last June, we saw a really great reason to have a healthy fund balance when the first tax distribution was late. That's so unusual. I don't think that we need to plan for that happening again. And this is a situation where the needs of the clients may be more compelling than the need to make sure we have a huge fund balance in case of an emergency. So I thought, better to let the board discuss this. So I thought, and Kim and I worked out four possibilities for what you could do with this money, and two of the possibilities are directly on behalf of those specific people. There are 20. It's not clear to us that all 20 of them would seek continuing services. We don't know that. That's kind of the role of the ISC, and that's a big job when you're talking about 20 people and their service preferences and desires. But before we even ask them to do that, we thought we should seek direction from you. So, and then I've never done a memo like this where you have four options, so you have a separate decision associated with each option.
Lovely.
And I have a question.
Sorry.
Just don't touch.
Yeah,
just don't touch.
I think that was Mary trying to.
Yeah, I was trying.
Sorry, go ahead.
The 20 individuals, do we know what they're receiving now or what the impact would be with UCP not serving them? Are they getting services or
some? Almost all of the 20 are currently linked up with the ISCs. They were previously linked up, so the goal is to get the remainder linked up with the ISC, and they are aware of the list of people that were being served through UCP.
But some of them have other agency services.
A few of them have, I think it was three, that had other agency services as well.
Yes. We are definitely continuing to serve everybody that I had gotten put onto PONS and updating them every year. So we will continue to work with them and see where their preferences lie. Most of them are primarily jobs at this time.
Can I ask that they're in jobs right now or they're seeking employment? I guess that was one of our questions, was it's, we kind of, when we responded, it was more that we really kind of needed to look at each individual because we don't know if they're in job seeking status, if they already have a job, if they, you know, what kind of follow-up support they need to kind of understand what the volume of need is, and also what DOOR's role is in that process too, because, you know, a lot of times that DOOR's, if they had a DOOR's contract, you know, if UCP was working directly with DOOR's, they'd have to go back to DOOR's and go through that process to be redirected, is our understanding. So we just weren't sure of the status.
I'm not quite sure either because I only see a person once a year. So they could have gotten...
That's why Kim has the, probably the most comprehensive information. Right. More than... because... I say that because you have information from all the agencies currently serving those people.
Yes, and I don't know specifically of those 20 how many have jobs and how many don't. That would be something that the case manager from the ISC case manager through the CCPB funds would be able to work on that. And we could probably work with Katie to get a determined list of who has a job and who is still seeking.
I wonder if it, just a suggestion. I mean, I wondered if it would be helpful to have a meeting with you, Community Choices, the ISC, DSC, to kind of look at that. I mean, they probably have to sign releases and stuff. I'm just, you know, if there was some kind of collective look at them, because it feels like time is really critical. Mm-hmm. If they're in a position that they're already working and maybe they're independent enough, but that's a generalization for that number of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, just a thought.
Yeah, I can definitely go through the list and call the folks and see who are still employed or are still seeking. Because, like I said, I only see them once a year, so I'm not quite sure where their job status is at this time.
And it might be valuable to ask them if they want support.
Right.
Right.
I appreciate that because I kind of wanted to throw it out, like as a community, how we want to proceed with these 20 individuals, because I do think time is of the essence, and we want to make sure they're not out there not getting services. So that's really helpful because I understand the other issue could be capacity, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So I would... Does somebody want to take the lead in the community for getting the group together? Patty?
Well, I don't know the people. I think it probably
needs
to be
Kim
or Mary.
Oh,
yeah. I can do that.
I
was trying to turn my microphone off. No, it's okay.
Yeah.
I have the list of people. I already have
okay.
It ready, so I can do that.
Yeah. If you already have a list, that'll be easier for me than going through Bird's Eye and trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and I can reach out to the ISCs that are currently working with people, and they probably know off the top of their head. So
there's only like a couple of them that have an ISC. There's more? Oh, wow.
I think so, yeah.
And I've got more than I thought.
So it sounds to me like
The first option was to just divide the remaining money up per person and attach the money to the people so that they could purchase services. But with $2,000 each, they're not going to be able to purchase much. So that's why we developed a second option, which was put the money together and approach one provider and see if adding that amount of money to an existing contract would accommodate most or all of those people. And then the third option has to do with increasing the amount of money, just not even, like, just we're not gonna worry about spending this money on those 20 people, but to put that remaining money into the mini grant, because it looks like we had more requests than we have available dollars for. And then the fourth one is to just not even reallocate the money and let it go into fund balance. So at this point, does it seem like any of those options are just really off the table?
To me, and in my reading of this, I believe that the third option should be off the table. And the reason being is that it seems that this money, even though it wasn't allocated directly to these people, it was allocated for these people through the contract with UCP, and I would hate to have someone losing some type of service because of UCP's change. That may still happen, but at least if we take that one option off the table, we have a better chance of getting services to those.
What is the urgency? Do we have to make this decision today? Because it seems like we need some more information.
So the urgency is you're not actually spending money in this decision. You're just giving staff direction with today's decision. The urgency is that some of the money is available during 2019 and some of it is available during 2020. These are very small amounts of money relative to your total budget. But I think this, in my mind, this was about preserving your intent. Like, continue what the board meant by allocating this funding for these people. I didn't want to lose that. So it's, you could say, based on the discussion so far, it seems like option two is right. That's to explore hooking people up with vocational services from a provider that you're already funding.
That's what I was trying to
do. And this does not obligate anyone to spending anything. It doesn't obligate us to increasing any current contract. It just does explore that. Did I write it such that you read it that way?
Mm-hmm.
And does this allow us to take that money that was supposed to be spent in 2019 and add it to the $30,000? So no, because it seems like, you know, things aren't going to happen fast enough for that $12,000 that should be spent by the end of this calendar year to be spent. I mean, I'm happy if we get our act together. I'm happy if we can get an act together that allows us to spend that money appropriately, but that seems like an awful lot to ask.
So technically it doesn't, but it's a very small amount of money. So you could say we just want to set aside, am I right, Chris? Speak to that.
Well, if you do not spend that $12,000 in FY19, it'll go into fund balance, and from there, if you wanted to, you can pull that out of fund balance, and so you'll have the full 42 available in 2020.
Thank you. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's perfect.
But to use, just on the technical, to use fund balance requires your approval and county board approval. So some, you know,
right?
Correct.
One of our realities. Mm-hmm. Still, I think you're right. It's probably not even possible to spend in 19.
Can I ask a question about option two? When I read that, the only concern, or I guess the question is that it outlines that there would be one vocational provider. And I don't know that either one of us would be able to meet the entire need. So that, I guess, language-wise, if that's something that's going to be voted on or something, then like, I guess it would be that there would be, if they can take some and if we can take some, or, you know, maybe the need isn't there, that there would be some kind of caveat that would allow for that consideration.
Well, and this was a hard option to develop because this is $2,000 a person, and neither agency currently supports people at that low of a rate. So it's sort of, maybe we need to, if you do vote on any of these options, maybe that one should be modified to capture what you're saying, like that we're looking at, it's just exploratory right now. Mm-hmm.
All right, any further thoughts or discussion?
So are we ready to vote on these as written, or do we need to go back and modify them?
When they make a motion, then they could modify? Or are we already, should we already have a motion?
And no one's made a motion for anything yet, so
no.
I'm not sure where you're going with this.
What's the right thing to do?
What do you want to do?
here's what I'm thinking in my non-Roberts mind, is that we go through each of the motions as they are, 1, 2, 3, 4, and vote. Some of them we can get off the table quickly by just saying, no, we're denying this. But those that we want to modify, then if we have time right now, can we go back and do the modification and vote again?
You do it when you have a motion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can do it when you have the motion.
Mm-hmm. So do we have a motion on the first option to approve the executive director and CCDDB staff to implement option one as described in the memorandum?
So moved, just to get it on.
Okay. Discussion?
I need a second.
Okay.
Oh, Sue did?
Sue's right on it. She's so fast you didn't get her. So I think we have agreed that this is not a viable option. So I will speak against the thing that I moved just to get it on there.
Understood.
Am I correct on that? Okay.
So we're at the point of a vote. Those who would like to approve this, please say aye.
I think we should go ahead and do a roll call on all of these.
You want to?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So a roll call would be a yes or no.
Right.
Okay.
Ann Robin?
No.
Sue Suter?
No.
Gail Kennedy?
No. So then option one is off the table and is denied. Option two, so we'll now move that if we have a motion to approve the executive director and CCDDB staff to implement option two as described in this memorandum. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, it seems to me from our discussion earlier that what we want to do actually is to modify this and to open it up to not just one agency, but more than one agency. So that instead of giving the money to the individuals, we would be giving the money to the agencies, but we wouldn't limit it to just one agency. So we need to modify the language in this to say whichever agency would be able to serve those individuals. Does that sound correct?
I think. That's certainly what I heard, and it seems like all three of us are nodding our heads. The question I have is, how do we vote for this? Do we vote approved, denied, or modified? Or do we just vote to modify?
With the modification that Ann mentioned, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so this is a friendly amendment or modification that we include Community Choices and VSC as potential service providers.
I think they were included in here. I think that maybe what we want to make sure of is that we don't that we change the wording so it's not, it doesn't appear that all the money will go to one agency
exactly.
or the other.
Right.
Okay. So we want to make sure that the wording changes to include a division of the funds between the agencies as they see they can handle for the most people served.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote that down, right? I can't think and write at the same time.
That's why we have this recording.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. So we will then vote on the motion to approve this executive director and CCDDB staff to implement option two with the modifications that were just discussed.
Right.
Roll call, please.
Sue Suter.
So we're approving the modification.
Got it.
Yes.
Gail Kennedy.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
And we have two more motions to go through. The third, option three, motion to approve the executive director and CCDDB staff to implement option three as described in the memorandum. This was the option, option three. Is there any, so.
Okay, so this is a question. If we have already approved option two, aren't we done? Because we
yeah, I don't think you need to even consider the other
picked
two.
One.
Yeah,
so
yay.
We're done. And my understanding from what Chris said is that if the money is not spent, it will automatically go into fund balance. So,
is that correct, Chris?
Thank you.
So we're done.
Even better. All right.
Ooh. Thank you.
Yes.
I feel like I put you through something, but
that was fun.
Well, I think Kim, when Kim saw this happening, was very concerned about what's going to happen to those people. So, and I felt like that was where your hearts are at too.
What was the last date of service for them? Do we know?
Last month was.
I believe October.
I think John said he had the opportunity to work until October 31st, but it was like 2 weeks before that. The last 2 weeks were going to be cleaning out the office.
Yeah, we received the 30-day notice on October 15th, and then later found out that staff were done on the 30th or 31st, and I believe people being served were done around the 15th or about that time.
Mm-hmm. Kim, do we know?
Just don't touch that.
Do we know that if any of the individuals that are being served, if they were on jobs and they're not getting that support right now, they've lost a job? Do we know?
We don't know any of that information right now.
Okay, because that seems like that would be a priority.
Well, and we can also double check with everybody.
Great.
Yeah, can we ask for an update on this at our next board meeting?
Absolutely.
In December?
Yes.
So we'll have a little more information at that time.
I was contacted by DRS. Just to let me know that there were some people in open plan with them. My impression was that they did not have jobs, but that there were several people that they had a contract with UCP to provide job development.
But those are paid.
So if you take those on, you get, Doors will pay for those.
Correct.
Okay. So that might
initially yes. Yes.
Program's capacity.
Yes.
And those might not be, those might only be Doors people.
Oh, okay.
Right. Right. So it might not be part of the 20.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Got me
my favorite topic of staff vacancies. So I didn't know if you have to staff up to take on all those people. Then
I think that's, we can't answer that until we know what they need.
Okay.
I mean, if
it's not these people, the doors people.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
yes, and they know what our limit is, and if they contact us and we don't have capacity at the time, sometimes people choose to wait until we have staff availability.
Okay.
And we just work closely with the Doors Council.
Okay. Any other discussion on this?
So we move on to 9D, which is the individual mini grant application update on pages 14 and 15 of our packet.
Looks like
page 14 is one topic and page 15 is a totally different one. But that's okay.
Uh-oh, what happened?
They look like they're one action item, but they're actually two. This is actually really straightforward. The update on mini grants is just this one page. No action is requested, but I think because it's going on, we thought we'd share the results so far. But then since then, the review committee has had a meeting, so things are advancing beyond what we wrote here. Do you want to add anything? Or?
Well, I'd like to see if Ann or Sue have anything that they would like to add at this point, having been at the meeting last night.
Well, as stated on page 14, we had 56 applications, of which 48, I think, were eligible. And they ranged from everything from an iPad to a car to dental services to a complete bathroom remodel. I mean, just it was all over the map. And we're trying to, I think the smallest amount was $148 and the largest amount was over $6,000. We had encouraged people to apply for up to $5,000. Some people seem to take the $5,000 thing and just choose things until they got up to that dollar amount. But the eligible request totaled $146,844, and we have $55,640. So we're going to have to cut them down. And Chris is going to give us some information about how we might possibly have some more money to spend. Is that right?
Our current projection shows that we may have up to an additional $50,000. Available to add to that out of 2019's budget. And I'd also point out that you could use 2020's budget as well. However, that may impact the amount of funds that are available for the FY21 grant applications. But if that money is available.
So that extra money that you just described for FY18, that's money that has been allocated, but it will not be used. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And that is, since it's not used, it's not tied directly to a person or an agency. It's just returned to the general fund.
If it's not used, and like I said, it's just a projection right now, and it could be up to $50,000. I'm not saying it would be. If it's not used, it just goes into fund balance.
And when will we know that amount? At the end of the year, a month later?
Two months later.
Just to get an idea. I understand we can't bank on that, but my thinking being that, okay, if we know that, that may change how we look at what we're going to be able to give people. As part of the committee, how are you developing criteria to decide what we are going to fund, aren't going to fund, or are going to choose? I mean, has there been much discussion about those types of ideas?
Yeah, we had quite a bit of discussion about those kinds of ideas, and we didn't really come to a consensus on those. And what we have done is the same thing the mental health board did with their agency requests is each of us has taken 10 requests, and we're going to kind of in-depth analyze them. And then at our next meeting, which is next Tuesday, we're going to report to each other. We've got a two-hour meeting coming up. Mm-hmm. So that's how we're doing it. I think the general idea is that we're trying to be as fair as possible to people and look at what their need is. But also, some people are asking for a lot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do you give a lot to some people because they have a high need and they have identified it? That we haven't really quite come to a decision about that. But we did get from Chris that he is going to be the purchaser of goods and services. So we're not going to be giving $2,000 and say, go to Best Buy and get whatever computer you want. Chris is actually going to be purchasing and arranging for the services so that we'll have control of the funds that way and make sure that it's really being spent for the thing that we're authorizing. And then we've also said something that we want to add later is 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year down the line, we want to have some kind of evaluation with people as to how did they feel about what they got and how does it impact the quality of their life. So they can give us a little report. And it wouldn't have to be a very big report. It'd be something very similar to what they put in their little personal statement for what they wanted.
I'm glad you said those things because those are two things that I had wondered about. And one of the thoughts that I had when I had looked at this, I was wondering about the, you know, all the requests that we have, needs versus desires, you know, the needs of what really is going to make a difference in someone's life because of their disability and require this as opposed to, boy, I just want this and you know, my person should have this because they have a disability and they just want it. And it's a hard, you know, it's a hard decision to make. Even as a group, you know, as an individual, making those decisions are hard. But
yeah, I think the little statements that people gave were really pretty convincing that it was, you know, this is something that I really need to enhance the quality of my life or even to make it possible for me to do things.
There you go. Thanks, Anne. We also mentioned that if there was some other funding that might be available in the community, that
yes.
We would take a look at that, and then we would have more money to serve more people or more things. And so, for instance, Linda Tortorelli was going to look at memberships for and scholarships for the Y and for the Park District. Maybe we could get like a rate or something. And then Chandra was going to look, because we did have some dental requests, so Chandra was going to look at Healthy Smiles Healthy, and see, so part of what we really, and another one didn't really ask for an amount of money or anything specifically, they just need help. So Kim is gonna hook them up. So part of it is when you read these, it's sort of like, not only can we do this, but if we can't, who could? And let's not leave these families high and dry.
Exactly.
If there's any way that we can make this happen. And I also want to thank just all of you at this table and our partners for getting the word out, because that's very exciting. And it's a good opportunity for us to see what people have identified as needs in the community. I mean, there's a lot of duplication, like dental services, things like that, and that's very informative.
Any other discussion? Thank you. And then we move on to page 15. A decision memorandum here.
which is to approve the final draft of the CCDDB 3-year plan for fiscal year 2019 through 21. Lynn, do you have any additions?
Just the final draft will remove all those edit marks. So we wanted to make sure that you could see what the changes were in the end after we had some time for input from various stakeholders and from board members.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
And we require a roll call vote here? No?
No.
Okay, then all those who vote to approve say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay.
So just this is sort of for information. You are not required under the statute to do that. It just has, we've always done it. It seems like good practice. So I just assume that you want to continue doing it, which is why we brought it again this year. So be comfortable with us continuing that practice. And relatedly, I've been on a monthly call, which is a collaboration across different entities in this region who either have an obligation to do an every 3-year needs assessment and strategic plan, or they have a practice of doing it. And the idea was to just do one together, like one master health plan. The thing they've none of them have ever done is the developmental disabilities piece. And as it turns out, one of them is being forced to. So that was good timing.
All right, so next is 10A in old business, the CCDDB 3-year plan. We just did that. Excuse me. So 10B, 2021 CCDDB allocation priorities, beginning on page 23. So any discussion?
I make a motion to approve.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed?
Neil, I just have one comment. I think the reason I feel comfortable in approving these so quickly is I think the staff did a wonderful job of including input from the community, from agencies, from the community, and that's a big help. And I commend staff for that.
Thank you. So noted and agreed. Next, then, we move on to 10C, mental health board allocation priorities. Now, this is informational for us, correct? Mm-hmm. Lynn, do you have anything you want to draw our attention to in this document?
I do.
Please.
So in addition to input from stakeholders and other staff into yours, the mental health board actually had a lot of input this year. That in the host study session, it was very clear that there's a part of the DD business that they're very comfortable with and would like to, you know, intentionally put out there. They really want the early childhood stuff. So, you know, per the intergovernmental agreement, it's sort of changed each year. Usually it's driven by how much money is available, which piece of mental health board would take on. But this year they were very clear that they want the early childhood stuff. So, and, you know, usually you have each other's memos just for information anyway, but this time it affected your memo too. And I think there are reasons for wanting that set of services were not a surprise because, you know, it's sometimes with early services, you may not even be able to do a diagnosis. So it sometimes is mental health. And then also they have an interest in treating whole families. So we changed that priority to young children and families. And that seems to be becoming key in this community, that treating children without treating families is getting us nowhere and sometimes causing harm to children. So that was a really robust piece of input from the mental health board. They also wanted some changes in the caveats, which I thought made the caveats easier to read. So I did the same changes on the DD side.
In process.
Thank you. Any discussion? Any further discussion on this? Well, I'm just happy that if there's more interest and desire to treat young children and families, that they run with it and take it on. I saw it as a need in my practice. Anyway, moving right along. So we are now on the quarterly agenda. I'm quarterly agency program reports on page 45 yes. through 64. Any thoughts or discussions on any of these? And if not, any thoughts or discussion on the quarterly service data, which is page 65 through 79. Exciting news.
In 2020, we're going to replace our copier. Even though ours is not, ours has about 1/5 of the use of most of the other departments, so it's not as tired, but we're getting a copier. Which means that your data charts can be a little bit more
colorful.
Pretty.
Robust. I thought that was huge.
I just want to say that these, I don't know what you call these bar charts. bar charts are actually much easier for me to read than the other ones, which have the all the words and the numbers. I mean, I can read them, but they're harder. I can get a better overview with the bar charts, so thank you for that.
Yeah, I find those more helpful. I find in the agency reports, I'm oftentimes going down to the comments to really look in the comments, and then that seems to speak the most to me is in those reports. Maybe I just need to read a little deeper. All right.
I just want to thank staff too. I agree. For putting these together and the agencies for giving in the information. Because I know there's probably times when, does anybody read this? And they really are very helpful. Just to get a picture, snapshot.
We're reading them.
Yes.
We are reading them. I am attempting to read them and get more information out of them. So I'm just.
So much fun to put together. Click on this, click on that.
Next on our agenda is on page 80 through 83, meeting schedules for the future. Our next meeting then will be December 18th here in this John Dimmitt conference room again. All right. And a nice list of acronyms.
I put a box in there.
Thank you. It's easier to find that way. Yes. works for me. Mental health board input.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was getting very giddy because we're really almost done. Mental health board meets this evening. They have a couple of the same items. This might be their last meeting of the year, so they have also a 3-year plan to finalize, maybe priorities to finalize, which is in their head. And they spent a lot of time on that, so I don't know. I don't expect surprises. They also have, Mark, don't we have a big question for them about multi-year contracts?
Yes, there's that, and then the presentation from Cunningham.
Oh, yes. They've been looking at an alternative. I don't know if you all remember about Parenting with Love and Limits, a program that was active in this community for 9 or 10 years. And it stopped at the top of this year. And Cunningham has been exploring with a group of stakeholders, which actually include Mark and Chandra, well, a good alternative model is they have found one that they really like. They'll be presenting tonight to the Mental Health Board on that model. So that might be interesting. It is focused on youth and families. It's really for families of all level of intensity of need, too. So it's fantastic to discover one model in the work. So that's big. And this multi-year contract effort is the first time we've done this. I don't even know if the board's going to support it. But we just identified a bunch of contracts that tend to be the same each year and off, you know, and we asked of those, would you be willing to take a second year on this contract, this existing contract? And those who said yes, we're going to ask the board to make their approval. It's a cliffhanger, but it will make their work, if they do approve it, presumably make their work easier in the spring of evaluating applications.
And they have a new printer.
So exciting.
Not yet.
So good. Not yet. But we will.
All right. Staff reports. Kim, anything?
No.
Stephanie?
Just let it go.
No. Chandra? Thank you. Then any announcements of which I am unaware? And I believe we are adjourned. Thank you.
So that was a great
call.
It's probably 8:30.